Yo, what is up, chumps? This is Layton, one of your co-hosts. Joining me, as always, is my good pal, Nate. Nate, how are you doing today?
I'm good. We're a little lonely up in here without our friend, John.
I know. John didn't really tell us what was going on, so might be Mexico in a little bit. You never know. No, I'm just kidding. He's just busy with work. I think he's traveling or something for that. So he's fine if anybody's curious. I think he's honestly, Nate, though, I think he's hiding from the shame of being 0-2.
You know, I know, and I've been silent with John. I haven't really wanted to bring anything up. I've been in that place before where he is, and I was about 5 points from being right down at the bottom of the leaderboard with him. So,
wait, you won this past week?
I won this past week. I pulled it to 1-1. I scored 99 points
and you
to
won?
Win. And I won.
I hate you.
I needed 10 points, or I needed 14 points combined from Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson. And
it
took an interception from the Minnesota defense in the last 2 minutes of the game and a check down to Dalvin Cook to get me over. So it was very close. But John, if you're listening, thoughts and prayers, brother.
Wow. Yeah. It's tough. I'm 0-2. You know who you are if you're listening, why I'm 0-2. Chase. Anyway, well, so we're just going to kind of talk about today. We're talking about some fantasy news. Next episode, a little teaser, we're just going to talk about NFL stuff. So not a ton of fantasy implication. We just kind of wanted to, if I'm being honest. So, but Nate, just to start off this episode, I saw a tweet from Field Yates. And so I have to ask, are running backs overvalued in fantasy football now?
I think this is a very interesting question, especially after how things have played out in the first 2 weeks. Would you go ahead and say what that tweet was from Field Yates? Because I thought this was a pretty cool setup for what we're going to talk about.
Yes, I'll say it if I have to. I didn't really want to, like, acknowledge it when I first, read it. And so basically, I was just scrolling through Twitter, and Field Yates is like, here's a complete list of running backs with at least 17 fantasy points in both week one and week two. It was blank. So, clearly, there's not a lot of consistency right here. I would venture to say, and that is not to toot my own horn, I'll do that later, DeAndre Swift's probably the most consistent player because he had 27 points. He had 16.7 this past week.
You could round up.
You can round up. Sure. 27-17. Yeah. But, like, that was – that's kind of the only guy right now.
That's crazy to me. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it at all. It's if we're going to talk about if the running back position is dying for fantasy football or if it's overhyped for fantasy football.
Yeah.
That's a pretty fun little statistic to look at, but I don't think it really necessarily answers the question of if they're overhyped or not, because I mean, you and I talked about it before the show a little bit is, there's still been some huge games from running backs. It's not like there are running backs not averaging over 17 points over the first 2 weeks. It's just so happened that there hasn't been that 17 point or above consistency. I mean, Nick Chubb was like 13 week one and like 35 last week. I mean, I think you take that any day. That's 1 week of keeping you in a matchup and another week of outright winning it for you in more times than not. Same with Jonathan Taylor. Same with DeAndre Swift in both of those. It's weird, but – and I don't
– would you rather have Jamar Chase and Stephon Diggs than, like, one of those players and Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook?
It's tough. I mean, it's weird. I think ideally I'd probably want a blend of the two guys or of the two positions.
Yeah.
You can get one good one, go one and one. And I think that's kind of where I would sit. just because I don't want to be starting Cordero Patterson and like Devin Singletary. That doesn't sound very appealing to me. But
what Tyreek, you know, obviously Waddle, what St. Brown has done is, I mean, those guys have just been balling out. Like, obviously, Justin Jefferson had a poor week too, but Cooper Kupp living up to the bill. Devontae looked good, not as good in week two, but, like, I mean, A.J. Brown, Mike Williams looked good. I mean, it's just – it's tough. It's tough because I think you can argue that those elite wide receivers that are putting up 25-plus points every game, I don't know if we're going to get that for running backs anymore. It's a pass-happy league. I mean, unless somebody like Christian McCaffrey, not him, but somebody plays like him and just catches, like, 80 catches – that's like the only way I could even see it happening, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. And I don't, it's 2 weeks into the season. It is very early. I was just going to ask you, I'm not much of an X's and O's kind of football guy. Like, I don't really understand a lot of schemes, concepts, whatnot. I'm kind of more of a casual fan that's very into the Kansas City Chiefs in fantasy football. But, so I don't know if it's like – if it's just something that it takes time to develop. I don't know if it's like early – because a lot of like offensive line units too didn't play in the preseason at all. Like that's becoming a thing is like a lot of these like stars, GMs and coaches just want to keep them healthy through the preseason so they're not getting much real game action until, you know, you're in season form come – week two or three, maybe that's when you're starting to finally hit your groove. But I mean, it's definitely interesting. I'm a little disappointed since I think you and I both tend to lean more running backs, but I'm hopeful that we see some of these big names kind of turn it around and, you know, progress back towards the mean. But it's a tough one.
It's definitely interesting, and I definitely think if the season keeps going like it is, which it probably won't, but if you don't have, like, a steady, consistent guy this year for running back, the draft next year is going to look very interesting, and the offseason conversation is going to be very interesting. So just something to keep in mind as we go forward throughout the season. Just remember, when you play fantasy football, you know, try to learn about the trends. That way next year you can come more prepared, unlike me. But yes.
I was going to ask you, if you – seeing how these first 2 weeks have played out, would you revisit your draft strategy through the first two rounds if you could? Because I know you were at the back end of the first round. Would you have tried to – and you went RB. Would you have tried to grab one of those guys at the turn if you could, or would you have played it the same?
So if Justin Jefferson had made it to me real quick, I was going to debate him and Swift. I took Swift in the first round and just hope Swift fell to me, which I think he was going to because Alvin Kamara also fell to me. So and so Dalvin Cook, actually. So all three of those guys are there. Didn't think that was going to happen. So I definitely could have taken like a Jamar Chase, Stephon Diggs in the first round. And I think going forward, I mean, if you have Stephon Diggs last night, you're not losing. So it's definitely something you have to consider. But like, it's just something we'll have to change on our outlook. How would you change? I mean, you took Justin Jefferson the first round. Would you have changed anything or?
I mean, no, that's kind of the strategy I decided with going into my drafts was I wanted to leave with one right wide receiver. If I could, if I had a guy on the board that I really wanted in those first two rounds, that was kind of my idea because, yeah, I mean, I just think the wide receiver position is so deep and it's kind of any week could be one of those guys' weeks where they blow up. But those elite receivers that we talked about, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, we kind of thought CeeDee Lamb kind of got an unfortunate some unfortunate circumstances right now with Dak being down, but Ja'Marr Chase and all that. It's just the probability of them having a boom week is so high. So, yeah, it's crazy though.
Well, speaking of
one thing to point out too, I wanted to say was we had a member of our league go zero RB through the first three rounds. That was Jake Neff, and he's 2-0 right now, averaging 140 points a week in a single flex league. So that's something to keep in mind.
I mean, I think you're looking at higher ceilings for wide receivers for sure. So speaking of higher ceilings, we're not sponsored by a fan company, but we do need to block out the sun, which Amon-Ra St. Brown, I guess that's his nickname. I just saw it online earlier. He's been tearing it up. I mean, did you expect this? So I'm going to ask you so you can say no. And then, I mean, I feel like there's just been a lot of really surprising, obviously it's 2 weeks, but there's been a lot of players that have really outshined what everybody thought they would do.
Yeah. So wait, so you said Amon-Ra's nickname is the sun?
It's like the sun so, god or the sun.
We were talking about that at work today. I guess there's an Egyptian sun god named Amon-Ra.
No, yeah, it's named Ra, which is the sun god in Egyptian mythology. Gotcha.
I did not know that. So I'm not much of a history buff. You're more into that stuff than I am.
Woo!
But yeah, so I mean, I think as we go through this list, it's the things that we're considering if you're a holder or if you're considering making a move on one of these guys is like, is this level of play kind of sustainable for them going forward? And so to answer your question, yes, I am surprised by Amon-Ra's kind of start to this season. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised with how he ended it last year, and they didn't really bring in a lot of real big target threats. They brought in DJ Chark, who's honestly been pretty productive fantasy wise. But no, I'm not really surprised. I don't think I am that surprised. I mean, he is somebody I think on this list that I believe can sustain this level of productivity going forward to a degree. I mean, he's had two huge games. He's like wide receiver, what, 4 or 5 right now?
I was looking at somebody else's stats who we're talking about next. He's a wide receiver 4.
Wide receiver 4, yeah. I mean, it's just doing do you think his target share would be sustainable going forward with it looming out there that Jameson Williams is going to be returning around week 8 or so?
I think Jameson just hurts everybody else in the offense. So yes, because the Detroit Lions defense is not good. So I feel like they're never thought I'd say this about the Lions. They are the Chiefs of like 4 years ago. They just don't play defense and they just expect to score a lot. Which is why I really like Swift, and honestly, trade for candidate, by the way. But I would not trade. I would hold on to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yep.
It is me. So, next guy, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. Tua Tagovailoa. he balled out, obviously. So, is there anything you want to talk about besides, or is this a blip on the radar? Or is this an anomaly? What do you think, Nate?
So,
I think it's more of an anomaly. Not like he's going to be bad. I think he can be better than expected and like a good starter, but you cannot expect that every week.
And I totally agree. I think this was an anomaly. I think he's a pretty good, if you're trying to stream a quarterback, he's a pretty good target. If he's going to be throwing the ball to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, like, that's better than a lot of other quarterbacks that you're going to find on the waiver wire. So, I mean, I think I would take that upside. You've already seen what he can do if that offense goes off like it did. But watching that game felt like I was watching, like, Alabama play, like
– Troy.
like Texas Tech or something.
Oh,
Yeah, or Troy. Like it just felt like it was like watching Tua back in Alabama, and not because like Tua like was fantastic Alabama. Yes, he was, but it just like the defense that we were seeing, it was like they could get whatever they wanted. I don't know who that cornerback was that thought he had over the top help from the safety on that just like 30
Tyreek.
yard pitch and catch to Tyreek. That was the easiest like 60 yard touchdown that you'll ever see. I don't even know what he was doing. He didn't even back up at all. He just let him run right by him. So it was Tua had a good game. They had to air it out because they were down like 24 points at one point in the game. And so it was pretty impressive comeback. But yeah, I'm gonna call this one an anomaly because he did not look too hot against a good defense in the Patriots week one.
Yeah, if he can, if somebody's interested, trade him. They play the Bills next week. So just some advice. kind of moving on, we have like a load of receivers that we're surprised by. I'll talk about this guy next, Curtis Samuel. I remember last week, I don't know if we talked about it in the show or not, but John said he wasn't a believer, and I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm kind of buying the hype. And so I picked him up everywhere I could, and boy, did it pay dividends. He's the wide receiver 14 on the season. And that's nothing to like write home about, but this guy was undrafted, right? So I'm gonna start him every week. He's had above 15 fantasy points each week. He had 11 targets week one, I think 9 this past week. And honestly, all three of the, I almost said their former name, the Commanders receivers are looking pretty good. Nate, do you have them, any of these guys anywhere? Do you agree with that? Because, I mean, that's probably going to be outside of Miami, that could be potentially the most productive group of receivers in the NFL for fantasy football.
I mean, gosh, with the way Carson Wentz has looked through these first 2 weeks, too, it seems like they can support a three wide receiver system and all of them be relatively productive fantasy wise. It's good to see for Curtis Samuel. I think we had a lot of excitement for him last year coming into Washington, lining up across from Terry McLaurin. We kind of thought it would be a pretty steady stream of targets going his way. Unfortunately, he had a pretty bad injury that ended his season. So it's good to see him kind of getting back to where he was before, but it's weird. I don't know what to think of it. And it's definitely skewing and affecting my how I'm viewing Terry McLaurin, who I think is one of the most talented receivers in the NFL. But for some reason, we have a rookie wide receiver in Jahan Dotson and Curtis Samuel that have outpaced him through the first 2 weeks. So it's interesting. I don't think it's. I think, Leighton, would you be buying Terry McLaurin right now from what you've seen through the first 2 weeks and how it's been distributed to Dotson and Curtis Samuel so far?
And you have to think about it, right?
I think you have to think about it. I think it's a pretty good opportunity to grab a very talented wide receiver. Should be wide receiver one in their system. I think Terry McLaurin still is. It just hasn't shaken out that way quite yet.
Depends what, because if the person who has Terry, they probably paid fourth, fifth round price, so you kind of have to factor that in. That's what they're going to be thinking. So, I mean, yes, look at him, but if Curtis Samuel's on the waiver wire, just pick him up instead, because I think he could finish not only higher but close to the same, if not. And I think he's going to be more consistent. Like, I don't think Curtis Samuel's catching like an 80-yard touchdown like Terry McLaurin can, but Curtis Samuel's a solid wide receiver two or flex for you. So next we have Christian Kirk, Rashad Bateman, Michael Thomas. Which of those guys would you say are you the most surprised by how they've played?
I would say honestly, I'm the most surprised. Gosh, I don't know, it's all pretty equal. I thought I was gonna say Michael Thomas, but Michael Thomas is just kind of back to doing what he was before. He's slant god. He's He's just kind of beaten up the Bucks and the who'd they play week one? The Falcons?
Yes, the Falcons.
Yeah,
sorry.
Beating up the Falcons with his slant game. So I'm happy to see that from Michael Thomas. Pretty surprised, I would say, by Christian Kirk. I think he got paid a lot in the offseason. We kind of expected him to be a focal point of Jacksonville's passing offense this year. I really didn't expect it to look as good as it has so far. He's gotten 18 targets, 12 receptions, two touchdowns, just under 200 yards. He's wide receiver seven so far through 2 weeks. So,
yeah.
Leighton, you said it before the show. Is he a sell candidate?
I mean, if you're talking about his finish as wide receiver seven, yeah, I'd sell that all day of the week. But would you – you're talking about, like, selling the player right now? I'd have to say no. Because, like, the Jags look better. It looks like they're throwing the ball more with Doug Peterson, which is great. And, you know, their defense looked good against what's called a football team in the Colts. But, you know, I don't know if that defense is really something that is, you know, anything to, like, go bang the drum for. And I think I wouldn't trade him unless you just get a really great offer again. But I wouldn't look to trade him just because I think he's easily the number one receiver. Or he's easily even the number one target. Doesn't even have to be a receiver in that offense. They paid him a lot. You can tell why they're going to continue to use him. So don't expect him to finish wide receiver seven, but could he be like wide receiver 10 or 11? Very easily. So I'd just hang on to him for that. So,
yeah, I've been impressed with him so far. It's I would say from the little amount of Jags football I've watched so far, I guess I watched quite a bit week one, but it's looked easy for him. Like it looks like it's designed and he's getting the ball easy and often, which is kind of a very good sign for him going forward and for his ability to. I would say just about Bateman. We didn't know a lot about him after last year. He didn't really log much playing time last year. He's definitely wide receiver one in Baltimore, but we really don't know how much that is going to equate to. He had a pretty good game last week, had a big touchdown from Lamar. But it's just, I think it's going to be Mark Andrews as
sell Rashad Bateman.
See, I'm not totally sure if I'm with you on that.
Because he had a 75-yard touchdown. If you take that out, he's still good. But like, I would sell if somebody's really interested, I'd sell him. And like, would you rather have Bateman or Kirk for the rest of the season?
I mean, Kirk. I don't think you're gonna have to pay as much though for Bateman. Is the thing?
Yeah, maybe not. I would.
I don't know.
Look into it.
Yeah, look into it. There might be somebody that just loves Rashad Bateman right now. And I mean, there's a few people around my office league that have been knocking on the door with Rashad Bateman offers all day. But I kind of like him, honestly. I mean, there have been somewhat productive wide receiver ones in Baltimore. Like Hollywood Brown had a pretty good career before he went over to Arizona. It wasn't anything crazy. I mean, it was, I would say, probably close to the wide receiver 18 to 22 range for his career in Baltimore. But yeah. I mean, it's possible there, and there's really no one else. I mean, obviously Mark Andrews is gonna get his, but it's Rashad Bateman or Devin Duvernay. Like, I really like Rashad Bateman. I think he's somebody that you can start in your flex every week going forward.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I did also want to give a small victory out for DeAndre Swift. But moving on, waiver wire pickup. We have a lot of guys on here. I think there's a couple. I'll just go through the ones that are probably already picked up in most leagues, but definitely check. Julio Jones, he's not picked up. Pick him up. Garrett Wilson, balled out. I would be shocked if he's on the waiver wire, but if he is, like I said, pick him up. And then the other one is Carson Wentz. Quarterback four on the season, Carson Wentz. Let's go. That's my quarterback right there. He is probably not on the waiver wire, but if he is, pick him up as well. The other four players are very interesting. We have Ramondre Stevenson and Raheem Mostert for running backs. Now, Nate, you wanted to put Stevenson on here. Why? No, I just don't know.
There's not much to be excited about. Honestly, I just wanted to put up everybody on the New England offense as people that you could potentially target on waivers, but maybe didn't know what to make of it. There's a couple leagues where I've seen, what's wide receiver one over there? I'm blanking on it right now. Jacoby
Myers.
Yeah. I've seen him on a few waiver wires, which he's gotten a lot more targets than I thought he would through 2 weeks.
Yes, I agree.
So I think he's somebody that I would absolutely target. I've seen a little bit of buzz around Nelson Agholor, who had a really big catch. He actually mossed somebody on the Steelers last week. It was kind of cool. But, I don't know about Stevenson. I reminded myself to target him after I saw Damian Harris go down at the end of the game last week.
Oh, he got hurt? But
he got hurt on, like, the last play from scrimmage, but it looks like he's okay and, like, cleared everything. Oh. He may just be questionable right now, but something to just kind of keep your eye on. The main one that I wanted to talk about here was actually Tyler Higbee.
Okay.
Tyler Higbee, through 2 weeks, has gotten 20 targets in the Rams offense. He's gotten 20 targets, 12 receptions on 20 targets, 110 yards, no touchdowns, averaging about 12 points a game.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's pretty good. And you had Tyler Higbee last year, right? Kind of hoping this would be how it trended for you.
Man, am I just a year early on everything?
I guess so. But no, I think Tyler Higbee's somebody. He's tight end 7 right now. It's a pretty top heavy position. It's really only Kelsey and Andrews performing right now. Waller's honestly been playing pretty well. I probably should have thrown him actually up into the surprise performances so far weeks, but yeah, I think Higbee's somebody that I would target. Hopefully he has a couple more good weeks and you can roster him and then maybe try and pass him off for like a TJ Hockenson or somebody that's probably a more talented player at that position that could get more upside towards the end of the year.
Yeah, you're probably right. My guy was Evan Ingram, low-key ad. He has run a lot of routes, and he led the Jaguars in targets last week. So we just talked about Christian Kirk. He's averaged 9 points. I know Evan Ingram has a little bit of a history, we'll say. But he has 12 targets over the first 2 weeks, so definitely something to keep an eye out for if you're asking me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else you wanted to mention before we got out of here?
Yeah, you almost got it out of your mouth. But Raheem Mostert was somebody that I was going to mention. I feel like I've seen him at the top of the running back position on about every waiver waiver wire. I just don't think we know a whole lot what to make of the Miami backfield so far through 2 weeks. And I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think if you're a Chase Edmonds holder out there, I think you hold him. I wouldn't look at anything that happened last week because they were down 14 plus points basically immediately at the start of the game against the Ravens. So they weren't running the football at all. They were passing it, trying to mount a comeback. It was a little bit disappointing week one, but that was also against a pretty stout defense in the Patriots. So I think take those first two games and performances from the Miami running back room with a grain of salt, kind of hope there are brighter days ahead. I think there will be. And Raheem Mostert, I think, could be a pretty productive piece in that offense. So just something to keep in mind.
Definitely agree with that because – like you said, if he's healthy, I think it's definitely a good person to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anybody else? Do you want to cut you off again?
No, I think I'm good, man.
All right. Well, Everybody, thanks so much for listening. Be sure to grab some of those players. Let us know what you want to talk about us. You can DM us on Instagram at @fantasy_chumps. So be sure to follow us on Instagram, and we'll talk to you guys later. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.